And now to a mode of transportation that has been on life support since the 1960s, the American Railroad. In 1956, President Eisenhower enacted the Interstate Highway System, allowing for 41,000 miles of continuous pavement across America and leaving empty rail cars in its wake. When it comes to commuting today, the car reigns. 86% of Americans get to work by car. So in a world dominated by cars, why does train travel continue to capture the American imagination? Hank Rosenfeld climbed aboard Amtrak's No. 4 Southwest Chief to bring us the story.
Welcome aboard train No. 4, the Southwest Chief, headed for the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois.
There are only three transcontinental trains left in this country, the Empire Builder, the Sunset Limited, and the one I'm on, Amtrak train No. 4. Which leaves Union Station out of L.A. once a day, heading east. Pulling out just before sunset. Very romantic. First stop, Burbank. All for the one online rail sale price of $58.60 one way. I will meet and fall in love with just about everybody on this trip. That's my tape of one railroad storyteller, Lord Buckley. Yep, and I got my Old Brother Where Art Thou soundtrack, my Joseph Campbell Transformation of Myth Through Time lectures, and I even got a copy of Thornton Wilder's one act, Pullman Car Hiawatha. I'm settling into the clickety-clack with the stars and the clouds to read. Oh, and I've brought along a book my brother gave me, Short Lines, a collection of classic American railroad stories. Because believe it or not, brothers and sisters, there was a time 100 years ago when the influence of the railroad on the lives of Americans was at its height. Well, that's what the book says here. Conductor Charles Washington.
How you doing, Bill?
Good.
This your first trip on Amtrak?
Yeah?
You're going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, soon Conductor Charles is highballing and pulling back the skin on it. That's train transfer, getting out of town fast. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Ooh, Amtrak bad, bankrupt, boondoggle. Well, sure, compared to Europe and Canada and maybe Greece and other countries. But you ever been on a train in Guatemala? Here's Sally, 15.
Do you have trains in Guatemala?
We used to have, but they canceled them.
Sally and her whole family of traveling Guatemalan actors, they're all completely adorable. The Teatro Familia Gomez, Nettie, Sally, and her brother, Luis.
Ven a Burger King. Disfruta las hamburguesas de aquí.
Luis does Burger King voiceovers that play on TV and radio all over Central and South America. I give his mother, Nettie, my business card. My grandparents used to take the train from Detroit to New York City. On New Year's Eve, 1943, they rode in to watch the ball drop after coffee and cheesecake at Lindy's, they said, the place with the singing waiters. They'd stay at the Navarro Hotel in Central Park and go to Nathan's for corned beef. But as my grandfather always says, that's a long time ago. Railroads used to inspire this country. 50-ton locomotives hauling hundreds of tons of iron rail through the Sierras. Today it's all motion, everybody moving, that's what I notice. We may be going to Chicago or to shop, going to war, or just going home. Everybody's on the go. Everything's accelerated, says Paul Krasner, including the rate of acceleration.
Sentimental Johnny!
Our fish selection tonight is going to be blackened catfish. And vegetarian instead of penne pasta will be three cheese.
The best thing on Amtrak is the food. Well, besides sneaking between cars at night, going down there and opening up the windows to get the blast of night air in. And there are a few things finer than riding along these rails, staring out the window with a glass of red wine, staring out at the green-gray countryside going by after sunset with the, from the dining car of a train, a couple of evening planets popping up out there. Dining car dinners can stretch for hours, miles, and towns and counties.
Please limit your after-meal conversation.
And then we're going to show Cinderella 2. And then immediately following that will be Ocean's 11, both upstairs and downstairs.
It's night. And at night on trains, people go to sleep. Finding my way to an empty seat, passing everybody sleeping this way and that. And the train shakes, so walking back is like being drunk. Imagine the same walk after some wine. I'm rocking along this little neighborhood that never was and only exists in the time it takes to walk coach after coach through the train. There's always one guy on his computer.
Are you writing a novel?
Yes, actually, I am.
Are you that famous best-selling author, Neville?
I'm the famous best-selling author that hasn't been discovered yet.
The next morning, I start running a tab in the snack bar car, and I see my Guatemalan friends.
So how did you sleep last night?
Really not good. No.
A Zuni guide climbs aboard and narrates the train from Gallup to Albuquerque, and he plays real good flute for free. I meet Anthony, who just got out of prison the day before. He told me the number of jailed Americans has more than doubled in the past 12 years. He was in for 6 on cocaine conspiracy in Lompoc, California. Anthony told me about Eugene Debs, who helped organize the very first strike against the railroads, and said, as long as there is a soul in prison, I cannot be free. So I had a good follow-up. I asked Anthony what his first meal in freedom was. He said, the chicken fingers at Burger King.
Ben up, Burger King.
Nice way to reacclimate, I told him. But inside I'm thinking, we're down to chicken strips as a way to celebrate freedom? No wonder the airplane people sneer at us train folk.
Hi, my name is Levy. I'm on the train going to St. Louis to visit my family. I'm 4'8", good looking, got long hair.
Levy's 11, he likes exhibit.
X-Z-I-B-I-T.
His cousin Stevie Mack is 15. They both play football for the San Bernardino Bears. Nice kids.
Can you do one of your numbers for me?
One of my numbers?
What do you call it? A song? I don't know. Your joints, I think they call it today, right? Joints?
It's murder when you step a foot on my block. It's murder when you hear Trey shots. It's murder when you hear knock knock. It's murder when my gun go click clack and spark. I bet I see you young niggas at the door, because I'm going to let my heat bark.
I'm going to let my heat bark?
Bark.
Bark.
It's great, the kind of stuff you find out about on trains. Listen to LaVey, 11-year-old freestyler.
Like me now, I go teeth with my style, take you in the backyard while you up like Allen Iverson. Number 3, you can't see me, they call me Lil LaVey. Stevie Mack, kick a flow right next to me.
So by the time we arrive in Chicago, we're only 24 minutes late. And that's like early in Amtrak time. Way early. On the way through Illinois, we passed 50 sandlot ball fields, and not one of them had a game going on. I saw some deer running from the tracks. I saw moms in parking lots pausing to point us out to her kids. That's an Amtrak, she said. The last of a dying breed. Anyway, I finally got around to reading Thornton Wilder's Pullman Car Hiawatha. A great train ride one-act play, whose characters include a field the train passes through, archangels, all the planets. Like much of Thornton Wilder's works, it's about life and death. And there's a porter in this play that yells, Chicago, Chicago, all out, this train don't go no further. Rudyard Kipling once said a locomotive is next to a marine engine, the most sensitive thing man ever made. That's what he said. I think he might be right.
Well, I ride on a mail train, babe. Can't buy a thrill.
That audio postcard came from journalist Hank Rosenfeld after he climbed aboard Amtrak's number 4 from Los Angeles to Chicago.
Been on the